Welcome back to TechNet Radio. In part one of their three-part series, Blaine Barton and Tommy Patterson walk us through building network servers on the Windows Azure platform. Tune in as Tommy demos for us how to create virtual machines and then authenticate them through an Active Directory controller, and then finishes up the session by showing us how to build our web and file server. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior technical evangelist here in Florida in my studio. And with me today, I have Tommy Patterson. How are you doing, Tommy?
Doing great, Blaine. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Tommy's my peer colleague and most of all, running the Windows Azure Infrastructure Services series for IT professionals. Isn't that right, Tommy?
That's right, Blaine. We're really excited. This is the big kickoff of an online event that's going to go all the way through June. And we kicked off this first one. It's kind of a basic primer. We get into installing Active Directory in a virtual machine, deploying some extra virtual machines. And that's part one of the series. Part two, which is just a few days later, covers installing file and web services in those two virtual machines. And then part three, we get into the deep provisioning. Now, in mixed into all that is a little bit of PowerShell toolkit, and also working through how you might do some scripting to deprovision and then reprovision virtual machines. So that final episode, we do get into some of the cost analysis too, but just kind of a primer to get you started, get you feeling comfortable with Windows Azure.
And more importantly, you're going to start out by getting a Windows Azure subscription, a pay-as-you-go account, if you will, and you can provision that account up on HTTP, aka.ms/Azure Bootcamp. And with that, Tommy, why don't you take us right into part one, creating virtual machines in Active Directory?
Absolutely, Blaine. So this first one, we were really excited about this one. This one is the step-by-step instructions on how you get started with building the virtual machines, building Active Directory, and it goes into, like you said, Blaine, where you can find the link if you haven't signed up already. But we hope that people are joining these series ready to go with those, with that session already signed up, and they're ready to build VMs with us.
Excellent, Tommy. So let's take a look at part one.
For part one, what we plan to do is talk through the deployment of virtual machines in the cloud. We're going to have three sessions. We're going to have the first session today where we deploy three virtual machines. We deploy Active Directory inside one of those machines. And then we're going to have a configuration and troubleshooting section where we add on the web server into the domain and the file server into the domain on Friday. We hope you join back with us then. Then the following week, we're going to have a cost analysis breakdown and also help undeploy those machines if you don't wish to continue on with that. So the charges, there will be charges on this event. It will build to your card. The reason we did it this way is because we get so many people approaching us at our pro camps saying, okay, I like Azure, I like what it's doing, but I don't understand how it's going to charge me. So we wanted to make sure we had a full experience. You deploy three virtual machines, you have compute charges accrue, and then we walk through that pricing. So hopefully you've already signed up with your Azure subscription. If you haven't, you might want to go do that now. We'll put the link up again here in a bit. There's going to be the follow-up office hours events that I talked about on May 10th and May 17th. If you can go to the URL you see here, there should be more information where you can get logged in, signed up for those. And also, just a reminder, there are IT pros standing by in the Q&A panel to answer any of your questions. Okay, we do estimate the charges to be between $50 and $75 if you follow the guide as we have it today, step by step. Now, overview of the portal. When you first launch the Windows Azure portal, you'll notice that for today we're talking virtual machines, but you have access to create your own websites, use the mobile services, SQL databases. You even have a storage account, which we will be utilizing. The storage account can do a lot of different things. So if you look into some of the backups and some of the other things that storage can do for you, you could be surprised at all the offerings that are available there. All right. For today, we want to focus on the virtual machines section. So if you can get to that point, go into the virtual machines and create an item. All right. The first thing we want to do And the networking piece is so critical, guys. I can't stress this enough. If you don't think through the network section and the DNS server section, then anything that you deploy may not be in the right network, and you may not be able to talk to it the way you'd like to. So let's first talk about how this works. When you deploy a network and the DNS server, what you're basically doing is saying, okay, here's my little mini DHCP environment that I'm creating. Your VMs will not have static IP addresses. All the IP addresses get assigned by a DHCP server, which we call sticky DHCP, right? So when VMs come online, the first time they come online, they hit that DHCP, they get that IP address, and it sticks with them from that point forward. Okay, so it doesn't change. When we define our networks, we want to use a network subnet that makes sense for what we're going to accomplish, just like we would in a physical environment in the real world. So for instance, when we create our network, we're going to say, first we're going to say we need to have a DNS server, right? We need to have a DNS server that these machines that we create will point to. So if I want to add Active Directory, they can know where to go look for the Active Directory server. When we go through this process, we click on the bottom, we click on networks, we click on virtual network, and then register DNS server. Give it a name. Now this name is just a pointer name, it really doesn't stand for anything. But the IP address is what's really important. And in this scenario, we want to use 10.0.0.4. Make sure you select your subscription from the bottom, because some people may have older subscriptions, you may have a few show up. So you'll want to make sure you select your subscription, and then you want to click Register DNS with the check mark at the bottom. Once you've done that, we want to go back to the network, to the virtual networks area, and click Create a Virtual Network. Now, this is the part where we get into the subnetting piece and what we're trying to accomplish, also the geographic location of where this network will exist. So for this scenario, I've used Tommy LabNet 01. What I recommend you do is pick a 5-digit name or numbers combination that you're going to stick with for the rest of this event. Maybe it's your initials plus some random number that you have, but you want to stick to that number and stick to that 5 digits. And the reason we're going to do that is because a lot of people are using Azure these days. There's a lot of trials, there's a lot of paid subscriptions going in right now, and we want to make sure that the names we use are unique. So if you can, go ahead and pick out what that 5-digit prefix is going to be and then make LabNet 01. You want to select the US, the East US region. And then if you want to, well, you'll create a new affinity group if you haven't already created an affinity group, and go ahead and give it a name with that same 5-digit prefix. Make sure your subscription is also selected at the bottom. From here, you're going to select the arrow to the right. So if you're creating the DNS server, you're going to want to use 10.0.0.4. So now we're at the place where we're going to specify what our subnet looks like, our address space. So you'll notice it starts with a 10.0.0.0. The address count, we need to drop the arrow down and choose 4096. We need everybody to do this. By doing this, we'll be able to make sure that we keep to the same subnet and everybody kind of follows the same path as we go through this. So select 4096, and then you're going to select the arrow to the right. Okay, now notice that what we need to do is select the DNS server that we created in the prior step. This is important so that we map that network to that DNS server, and now that when people are, when new VMs are coming online, they know who to talk to for the DNS. So once you've selected your DNS server, hit the check mark, and that will be the completion of your network. Notice that at the bottom of the screen you're going to have a operations panel pop up and show you what exactly is going on. Did I add the DNS server correctly? You can click OK. Did the virtual network get created? Click OK. When you're finished with all those, you can click the dismiss at the top and it'll dismiss all of the completed operations. All right. The storage account. We talked a little bit about this a few minutes ago, but this is really critical. You want to create a new storage account. If you already have a storage account that you're using, that's fine, but it's easier if you have a single storage account that you're working with. If you don't create one, it will create one for you with a random name. Okay. So again, you want to use your five-digit prefix. I chose LabStore001 as the name of mine. Notice it's a URL. You can get to this through PowerShell commandlets and such like that. So you can undeploy or deploy virtual machines straight out of your storage account. So you want to click on New at the very bottom, Data Services, Storage, Quick Create. And this is probably the only place we're going to use Quick Create today, by the way. Go ahead and put in your name. If you want to enable geo-replication, you can. However, please note that's going to have some additional costs. What geo-replication does is take your storage and have it replicated across regions. So if you choose East U.S., your storage would get replicated to West U.S. as well. All right. Now, the region is important because if you're in a, let's say you're in a HIPAA-compliant organization, then yes, you'll want to make sure you stick to the U.S. is where your data resides, all right? So that's a restriction that you would have to adhere to, and that's what Azure provides this geolocation for. So for this exercise, let's not check geo-replication unless you're prepared to pay the extra charges, and click Create Storage Account. All right, we're at the point now where what we're going to do is deploy virtual machines. Notice at the top you have virtual machine instances, images, and disks. If you wanted to, which we will cover in one of our follow-up sessions, the disks can be uploaded. So you could create a VHD, upload it directly to Azure, and then deploy from that image. Right? You could register that image to run. The images is where if you create an image or create a VM inside of Windows Azure, and maybe run sysprep, then convert it, what it called capture in the Azure portal, will capture the image and put it into your images store. So then you could later deploy again. For today, what we're going to do is click create a virtual machine to move forward. All right, you're going to notice this pop-up happen, okay? Compute, virtual machine, you're going to see quick create there, and you're going to be kind of feel like you want to go there, but don't go there, folks. Go to From Gallery. The Quick Create area is really just for what it says, Quick Create of a Virtual Machine, but it doesn't take into account your virtual network that you created, your affinity groups. It's really just a quick, you know, create a quick virtual machine to play with. So we're going to choose From Gallery and click on Create a Virtual Machine. Now, inside of Azure, there are several templates you can choose from. Notice there's a BizTalk server, there's SQL Server, Enterprise and Standard. There's a SharePoint Server trial that you can do. For today, what we're going to choose is Windows Server 2012 Data Center. Okay. Notice at the bottom, if you scroll down, you'll see the SUSE Linux, you'll see Ubuntu, you'll see a couple of different Linux flavors out there now that are available. On the left, you see platform images, you see my images, and you see my disks, right? This is where you would deploy from something you've uploaded or from an image you've captured in the past. For today, choose Windows Server 2012 Data Center, and then click on the arrow to the right. Now, virtual machine configuration. The release date at the top shows you the release date of the image that we're using. Now this could change, so because you may be watching the recording of this, you may see a newer date. The reason for that is because each image that we put out has all the roll-up, the updates that are the roll-up updates included already. So if you wanted to go back and choose an older release date because of something you're testing, then you could. For today, I want to stick to the March 26 release date image for this lab. The virtual machine name, again, your five-digit prefix. So you want to choose that five-digit prefix that you created. Choose LabAD01. And then we need to create a user account. Okay? By default, the administrator user is shielded from the portal admin, from your account. You need to create a username that's unique to you that you're going to remember. The password Also, something very unique, you also need to use 8 characters with special characters, upper and lowercase and numerics. So once you've done this, please write it down, because after the creation has occurred, there is no way to go in and correct this or fix it or reset it. It is there until you change it inside the virtual machine again. The size should be set to small, 1 core, 1.75 gig of memory. So please select that size, and then you want to click on the arrow to proceed. Okay, so we're building the first AD virtual machine. We've already selected the name to be that 5-digit prefix, LabAD01. Let's also choose that for the DNS name. Please note, if you put in a name that's already been used, you'll have this pop-up occur that says the DNS name that you specified is already in use. We need this name to be unique. So if you can go back and change your name, or if your prefix is already taken, let's go ahead and make sure that we get this straight and make it and use the same name, if at all possible. You're going to select standalone virtual machine. You're going to select your storage account that you created. At the bottom, you're going to select your virtual network. This is really important. And then below that, you're going to select that virtual subnet that we created. If you have any problems at this section right here, please ask in the Q&A. It's really critical that this matches as we go forward. Availability sets. So let's talk about that for a second. Availability sets allow for virtual machines to be available across regions geographically. If you select a different, if you create an availability set and you want to use that, that's fine. So we can select that, but for now, in this particular guide, I'm not using availability sets, so I'm just going to select the check mark to proceed. So let's jump back into the slide deck. Looks like we're going about right, maybe a little too slow for some. So the good thing is, when we finish this session, there's 54 slides in this guide, okay? But we're going to have time when it's over. For anybody who falls behind or wants to do other things, we'll have some time there to do a Q&A and to assist. So, you know, try to follow along as good as you can, but there is time when this is over with so we can continue on, all right? So you should have already finished and clicked the check mark on the creation of the virtual machine. And now what we're going to do is look at the summary. So if you take a look at your summary of the VM as it's being created, you'll notice it has an internal IP address assigned. You'll notice the size is set to small, 1 core, right? So as you look through this, you start to get an idea of how this virtual machine is running in Azure, okay? Now, I took this slide as just a snippet of the different ways it could look. If you had a 2-core machine, you may see 2 cores. So, you know, creating a medium machine may look different than a small machine. And you can look down and see the OS disk. Now, I'll point out something here. The OS disk that comes with every virtual machine you create has a read-write cache enabled. All right. So read-write cache enabled means it's really fast. It's caching any of the reads and writes. However, if you had a quick shutoff of the VM, you might lose some data. So when you create new disks, which we'll do here shortly, you're going to notice that you have the option of not using caching, which we will take advantage of for our data drives. Okay? Now, as we add a disk, because every virtual machine we create today, we're going to attach an empty disk. At the very bottom, you should see an attach, the attach button. You want to click on attach empty disk. Now, the file name, it's going to provide something there, but you can go ahead and change that if you'd like and add in your own prefix name. The storage location, we want to leave that alone. That's going to be your portal account that you created. You should see the virtual machine name match what you created earlier. So we want to set the size to a 10 gigabyte size. In the host cache preference, we're going to select none. It should be the default. Once you've gotten through this piece, you want to click the check mark and move on. Okay, so let's go ahead and move forward. Hopefully your VM is up and running. There's probably a 3 to 5 minute delay of getting the VM up and running. You're going to highlight the virtual machine you created and the AD server and click on Connect. Now, what's going to happen is an RDP session is going to pop up at the bottom. This RDP session is not to the default port of 3389. We randomized the ports of TCP/IP for security purposes. So when your RDP connection pops up, you're going to go to whatever port got randomly generated for that virtual machine. When you click on open, it should go ahead and pop up the RDP connection program. So you're going to see don't ask again for this connection. You can check that box if you want to. Click connect. The next thing that's going to pop up is your security login area. So this is going to be that username you created with the password. I mean, there's no domain at this point. So you're going to want to go ahead and put that information in. So once you click connect, put in your username and password, you'll get one more warning about the certificate. Click yes. Then you should be into the virtual machine. I'll let everybody get logged in. And the first thing that we're going to want to do is go ahead and initialize the disk we added. So we're going to go up to the tools area, which is in Server Manager. If you take a look around Server Manager, you'll notice a lot has changed. If you haven't seen Server 2012 yet, a lot has changed in here. All the tools and the ability to manage servers can be done from one central Server Manager instance. For this particular guide, what we're doing right now is just connecting in on that AD server, using Server Manager to manage it locally. And what we're going to do is go to Computer Management, then we're going to go down to Disk Management. And you should see a pop-up that says, hey, we've got a new disk, we need to initialize. You click OK. You may catch this a little out of order, so you may get something popping up saying, do you want to format the disk? Okay. You can hit cancel on that, because what we're going to do is right-click on the disk 2, right-click in the area that says 10 gig unallocated, and select new simple volume, and then you're going to want to click next. From here, you want to go ahead and use the full size, so whatever it says is the default is fine, and hit next. You want to assign the drive letter of F. F is what I'll be using for all of my examples, and hit next. Format the volume. Make your volume label say data. That's what I normally do, or you can make it say AD data or whatever you'd like. Perform a quick format that's already checked for you, so hit next, and then hit finish. And this is where you may see that pop-up occur that says, do you want to format the drive? If you hit cancel, just make sure when it's completed that the disk shows up as the F drive and it is formatted in Disk Manager before you close out. So I'll leave this slide open for just a second for people to get caught up. Now, we want to add the role of Active Directory to the AD server. So if we go up to the Manage feature in Server Manager, you'll notice Add Roles and Features. The first screen that will pop up is your Add Roles and Features wizard. There's just some information there about different things you may want to consider. If you don't want to see the screen again, go ahead and check the box to skip this page by default and click Next. Now, the next screen is pretty significant. If you are doing some type of VDI environment, or you're doing some type of terminal services, the traditional terminal server, if you will, of the past, the bottom option is for you. However, every other role or feature that you enable on any server is done with the top selection, the one that we have highlighted. If you go the route of the remote desktop services installation, then that server will be locked down to performing that particular task. It does a lot of special things to the network, so keep that in mind. If you want to perform the remote desktop services installation, you've got to think through it a little differently. In this particular case, what we're going to choose is role-based or feature-based installation and click Next. Now, this is where you would manage multiple servers. In our case, we only see one server because that's all we've added to this Server Manager instance. But if we go ahead and select the LabAD server from the pool below and click Next, we'll get to the area where we can choose which role or feature we want to deploy. In this case, we're only going to be deploying the Active Directory domain services. It's going to give you a pop-up window that says add these features as well. And yes, we do want to make sure we add those features, so go ahead and click add features and then click next. Most of the selections you can make in the roles page are going to require a reboot. Hyper-V, you got different things with file services. If you expanded file services, you would see like data deduplication, DFS, and that kind of thing. Most of these require a reboot. The next page, which is our features page, is things that normally don't require a reboot. You will see failover clustering there. You see group policy management. If you scroll down, you'll see the desktop experience that you can add if you want to add the full desktop experience, which would be like the snipping tool, movie watching, stuff like that. Most people with a server aren't going to turn that on, but in the case of this guide or this lab, you may want to turn on the desktop experience so you can get that snipping tool, but let's not do that now. Go back and do that later. I want to make sure everybody stays on the same page. So we want to go ahead and click next, and then the Active Directory Domain Services role and features wizard will pop up, and you click next. At the top of that box, you're going to see a restart the destination server automatically checkbox. So go ahead and check that, click yes, and then click install. Now, the next pop-up window is the feature installation page, and you can say close if you want to. You can always follow along to see the progress if you look up at the very top right of Server Manager where the flag is. The flag shows you anything that's happening on the server as far as operations you kicked off. But you can click close here and that will continue. So notice the flag in the top right should have an exclamation point when you get to that point. This is where we're going to promote the server to a domain controller. Now, DC Promo is now deprecated, so not available in the traditional sense if you are a 2008 admin. But this promote the server to a domain controller feature goes through the same type of steps. Do I want to add a forest? Do I want to join a existing forest? That kind of thing. For this particular guide, what we're going to do is create a new forest. So we're going to promote the server to a domain controller. And once you've selected that, you should see where you can select add a new forest. We're choosing contoso.com, of course. That's the Microsoft mantra going forward, right? You see that all the time. Somebody asked me in one of my last events why we use Contoso, and the reason is because it is a registered DNS name, so we don't have any kind of copyright problems by using that in our demos. So once you've entered your root domain name, make sure you have it fully qualified, so the .com, .org, that kind of thing. Click on Next. And then you're going to get to the screen to choose your functional level. We want to leave everything at Server 2012, and you're going to want to add a password for your restore mode. So go ahead and put in a password. Let's make sure that works out good for both, and then hit Next. Okay, the next screen is going to give you a warning about DNS server, authoritative parent zone cannot be found. We're not worried about that. So we're going to hit Next, and then it's going to pre-populate based on the name you provided, the NetBIOS domain name. So give it a few seconds, and this will pre-populate for you, and go ahead and click Next. All right, notice here, this is where we're changing to the F drive. So you want to take the C away and put an F in place of that for all three, the database, the log files, and the sysvault folder. This is where that this is where that read-write cache piece is critical, right? So everything will be written straight to disk. So you want to change that to drive letter F on all three and click Next. On the next screen, you're going to notice that you have a View Script button. This is where you can view the PowerShell script that would take place, and you could actually take that PowerShell script and copy it, edit it, do some things with it if you wanted to. For purposes of this guide, we don't need to do anything with it, but you can take a look at it, and then click Next. It's going to pop up. It's going to have some exclamation points. Okay, it's going to go through some of the things. We don't have a physical network adapter that with a static IP. That's okay. In the Azure world, this error message doesn't mean much to us because that sticky IP is going to stay the same all the time, no matter how many times you reboot the server, right? So you want to keep that, keep that in mind. You look through your warnings, but all these warnings are perfectly normal. As long as you get a green checkbox that says all prerequisite checks have passed successfully, you can click install. All right, we're going to leave that one going so you can minimize or shut down that RDP session if you like. Let that go ahead and continue running in the background. And let's go back to the Windows Azure portal. And we're going to create a new virtual machine. This time we're going to create our web server. So I'll give everybody a minute or two to get to that point, and then we'll continue. We'll take a moment at this point. If anybody has any suggestions or things they'd like to see in future upcoming events, please feel free to shoot us a message on that, either through the Q&A or online. We'd like to hear from you on what you'd like to see. For this first session, we wanted to keep it fairly basic, make sure the scenario was understandable by a broad audience, but we are very open to doing other sessions, so if you have any feedback for us, please let us know. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and assume everyone is at the virtual machines page and they're ready to create a new virtual machine. Steps are going to be very similar to what we did before, so click From Gallery, make sure you choose From Gallery. Choose Windows Server 2012 Data Center. Click the arrow to proceed. Now we're going to use that same 5-digit prefix that you created. Make sure I would use the same username. You don't have to, but I would use the same username just to keep it simple. In fact, for all of these machines I created, I used the same username and password across the board. You want to make sure you choose small. One core should be the default, but make sure it says small. We're going to be doing all three small virtual machines for this particular guide. Now the DNS name, let's make sure we get that the same as what we put in for the machine name. Hopefully they will match up. Somebody hadn't already used that external DNS name. Make sure you choose the same storage account. The virtual network needs to be the same. And the virtual network subnet needs to be the same. And again, we're using a standalone virtual machine option here. Click the arrow to proceed. Not using an availability set, so we're going to go ahead and hit the check mark so we can go ahead with the VM creation. Now let's give this a minute or two to get spun up, and then what we're going to do is attach an empty disk to this machine as well. So let's take a few minute break here, let everybody get caught up, and then we're going to create a virtual disk to add to the web machine. The steps for adding the virtual disk to the web machine are identical to the steps for adding it to the AD machine. We're just going to be selecting that web server instead. So anyone who feels that they can move forward without me on this stage, go ahead. Just remember, your caching needs to be set to none. All right, so we're going to attach an empty disk. Hopefully you're at that point where you're able to do so. Remember the naming scheme. So go ahead and put your naming scheme in, choose none, set the size to 10 gig, and then go ahead and hit the check mark to proceed. All right, now what we're going to do is build our file server. So we're back at the virtual machines page. Now, in this particular screenshot, I had no virtual machines created, but by now you should see two of your virtual machines created on this screen. We're going to create that file server virtual machine. So you want to go ahead and click create a new virtual machine, again, from gallery. Right, so click from gallery. Windows Server 2012 Data Center, arrow to the right. Same five-digit prefix, labfile 01 will be the server name, so make sure you choose that same prefix. Same username and password is what I used. Again, choose your own if you'd like for each server. Okay, make sure you choose small, and then hit the arrow to the right. And now you want to go ahead and make sure you have that storage account there again. Check, make sure the virtual network is the right one. And then the DNS name, of course. Make sure the subnet shows up properly, and then hit the arrow to the right. If at any point you mess up any of these virtual machines, all you have to do is delete it, start over. Only takes a few minutes for each virtual machine, so not a lot of time lost, and you can always make sure you get it right. But when you do create a virtual machine, once it's created, there's not a lot of configuration that can be made or changes that can be made to it. So you just want to make sure you focus on what these questions ask and go through it. Again, recreating is not a problem. It only takes a few minutes. So we should be at the end of creating that lab file server. Proceed, and now we want to attach an empty disk to this one as well. After that empty disk is there, that wizard pops up. Go ahead and put in the name, choose 10 gig. Post cache preference will set to none. And then we're going to go ahead and hit the check mark.
Great job, Tommy, of taking us through part one, creating virtual machines in Active Directory. What would you like to close with?
Just like to say, if you haven't been watching these or following these online real time, you can go out to virtuallycloud9.com. I have all these posted right there with the how-to guide. And so if you can, go out, get started, and then join us on session two.
Great. So what are we going to be covering in session two, part two?
Well, first thing first, we're going to go in and make sure that we have the web services running and the file services running with the virtual machines in the same domain of the domain that we created in part one. So part two kicks in. We go through the file and web services. Then we install the Windows Azure PowerShell kit. And once we've done that, we do a little bit of configuration in part three.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Tommy, it's always a pleasure having you on IT Time, TechNet Radio. And with that, it's a wrap.